any one of us, even bigger than this congregation, we step into it. I don't know what your response is to that, whether, oh, more just feels like a big backpack. Oh, I got to squeeze more into life. I tend to be visionary and can see the potential and the possibilities. When I meet with an individual or a couple or family, I can see, wow, look at the gifts God's given them. Look what could happen. I realize we're all on a journey moving towards that. And I look at our world and how much more does God want us to do? Could we do? But I can be so visionary, I can really overwhelm myself. I was just out for a prayer drive yesterday, out to Foremost and whatever. And I realize I really need to limit the amount I'm listening to the news and taking in news. There is so much ungodliness going on in our world, and I want to rise up and take a stand on it. But there's so many issues, I can just get overwhelmed and go, oh, that's too much. I can't handle it. And I just overwhelm myself, and then I don't want to do anything. So I don't know what your response is to that. We were created for more. But part of this is knowing what to say no to so that we can say yes to what God's really inviting us to. And that clarifying process. Maybe we need to get some noise, and for me it's news, out of our lives so we can focus on something else. We can really live on purpose. This is the last day we get to live on purpose. Well, no, the last day for this series. Got the rest of our lives to live on purpose. And to really take hold of what God has for us. Limit it down. See, I can't tackle all the issues going on in our world or in people's lives, but I can have an influence in some. Each of us can do something. We can't do it all, but we can do something. So as we talk about living on purpose, yeah, let's join in together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you call us, you equip us, technically to make us ready for what you would have us walk in. And you prepare those works in advance. We want to walk in them. God, we want to see you do things we can't do in our own power. And you do it through us. Most often. That's humbling, that's scary, that's all sorts of things, but we want it to grow our faith. Give us the faith to step in. Just do, walk by faith and in obedience, not in fear and disobedience. Lord, would you teach us here this morning? We pray it in your name. Amen. We are Coaldale MB Church. And we've discerned that we're followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. Everything we do, we're going to follow. Where he leads, we're going to follow. We're not going to say, well, this is all of my life and I'll give you this little chunk. No, we follow him in everything, in every way. And we seek to bring glory to him, not to ourselves. And then we've discerned we need to experience God and walk in that. Engage in biblical community. We've covered these in a couple of weeks each. Now it's our second week looking at equip for kingdom service. I went to a church in Hamilton, Ontario. When I was first, I'd come to Christ at age 20. I went down to Ontario for 1 year of lay leadership school, a small Bible school, and I happened to go to this church in Hamilton. They had a slogan over the door into their sanctuary from the foyer saying, "Few people go to church to get involved, but few people stay unless they do." We're created to serve. We're created to live it out, have Jesus live through us. And he equips us for kingdom service, for involvement in something huge, in building God's kingdom. And it's huge. So as I said last week, serving is a given. Everyone serves in some, all sorts of ways, actually. Some of them within this. Some are people are teaching Sunday school. I was in a conversation this morning, briefly out in the foyer. Sometimes, well, you know what? I'm not really seeing the results of teaching Sunday school for decades. But never underestimate the power of God in that. And the consistency of teaching and walking with people, what a privilege. Not only might some of them be the next Billy Graham or have some huge, amazing ministry, but it's multiplied. They in turn will be influencers of others. And what are we rescuing them from? Right? We could make a lot poorer decisions, but we're supported in those relationships. So small groups are huge. Sunday school classes are huge. That's not no small matter. We serve in our kitchen so that we can do other ministries. We all serve in all sorts of ways, and we serve outside this body as well. And I said, equipping has two facets to it. The first part is to provide and prepare. I've called two groups up here last week. We provide some resources, stuff that we need, tools, curriculum, stuff like that, experiences. Yeah, go to MB Mission. That's part of us providing experiences, working at camp, provide oversight and encouragement. Now, encouragement starts to cross over into equip part two, which is it restores and repairs. I'm going to read our key passage for both of these Sundays, Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, both of these. Provide what we need, prepare, restore, and repair. Equip the saints, that is every believer, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hey, we're all on journey together. We're learning from each other, serving one another and our world, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, that's supported and restored as a part of that as well, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What a huge passage. There's lots we could preach on here, but we're just going to look at these pieces of equip. Part one we dealt with last week, provides and prepares, and now this week, restores and repairs. And this is illustrated throughout Scripture in several different ways. Have that in mind. Restores and repairs. How do we equip in that sense? Like, the first sense is more common, right? We think of equip. We think of get them the tools and the expertise, the training to use those tools. That's equipping. But it's also this sense of being restored and repaired. Think of Genesis. These will come up on the screen. I'll be bouncing around here. Genesis 40, verse 21. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. This goes back to Joseph's story, right? Joseph's about there with his brothers. They're jealous of him, throw him into the pit. They pull him out because they decide to sell him instead of let him die down there. They sell him. He gets into Pharaoh's or into jail first, but then he rises, and he's in Pharaoh's jail later on, and he gives this prediction. God gives him insight. The baker and the cupbearer are in jail with him, and he says, you're going to be released, and sorry, I got bad news for you. And that came about. We look at Genesis 41:13, and as he interpreted, so now this is the cupbearer before Pharaoh again. He's been restored. Joseph said, don't forget about me. He did, until a crisis hit. But now he's saying, this amazing guy, Joseph's down there in prison. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged, just like Joseph. So your troubled dreams, hey, go talk to that guy. And it led to something bigger. But this idea of I was restored to my office, restored to a position. He restores the broken. I mean, he's in jail. It looked hopeless for him, but he's restored. I think of MB Biblical Seminary. One of the professors down in the U.S. some years ago had an extramarital affair. Fell, but he's been restored. And what a powerful time in the MB Herald and in the Leadership Journal, I forget what it's called, out of the U.S., same kind of magazine, where he wrote a piece of apology, actually had done that earlier on, and the conference could write, he has been restored and we're recommending him for ministry. He would be an incredible, powerful guy for ministry, having failed in a specific way. He probably had now, as these people have walked with him, he's got really wise parameters on life and an incredible perspective, and he's restored, and that's what God is. He's a God of restoration. He's rebuilding. Here's another sense. In Ezra 6, and also let the gold and silver pieces, vessels, of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and brought back to the temple that is in Jerusalem, each to its place, where it actually belongs. You shall put them in the house of God. Remember several weeks ago I asked, what does holiness mean? It means to be set apart to God for a purpose. And if we're in relationship with Him, we are holy positionally before Him. Practically, we're still working on that. And sometimes we get out of place, don't we? We get out of place in our attitude and our actions and our whatever else, and we get off kilter. We get out of alignment with living out our proper place, what we're created for. This is the God of restoration. He wants to put us back where we fit, where He wants to flow through us powerfully and impact the kingdom, bring glory to Him. And we are holy. We need to, sometimes some of us here need a recommissioning and a reclarifying. Who has God created me to be? And a restoring, being restored to that position. And we walk with each other. We continue to speak life into each other, treating each other and the people around us like we're made in the image of God, which is the truth. Even when we failed, even when something's broken in that relationship, we're created in the image of God, and God has something bigger, and we can be restored in a powerful way, set apart again to God. Think of Nehemiah. This is when they're rebuilding the wall. Listen to this whole passage from Nehemiah 3. I'll read from 3 to the end of verse 8. Listen, repaired and restored. The sons of Hanasseh built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakaz, repaired. And next to them, Meshullam and the son of Berechiah, son of Meshabel, these are tough names, repaired. And next to them, Zadok and the son of Bana, repaired. And next to them, Tekoites, repaired. Horrible phrase here, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. And then on to the next, Jehoiada, the son of Pasai, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah, whatever, repaired the gate of Yeshana. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, its bars. And next to them, repaired Melatiah and the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Maronite, Maronthite, the men of Gibeah at Mizpah, and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor, the province of beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziel, the son of Harhiah, the goldsmiths, repaired. Next to them, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And then it switches, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. So these, all these family units are repairing the wall, repairing the wall, repairing it, restoring, and they restore the city. There's always something bigger. We might be working with an individual and restoring or repairing, walking with them, letting God bring some healing in their lives. But it's always bigger than the individual. It's going to impact the people in their sphere of influence, their families, their friends. And it's going to impact the city. Like, it's a big place, lots of people. And some of it's really dramatic. Like I say, the Sunday school teachers of Billy Graham had no idea what he was going to do in the future. But they're faithfully putting into his life, people put into Darren's life. MB Mission, when we go on one of those, the training and the debrief is as or more important than the trip that we go on, because we're mentored by people. And some of that we're being repaired and restored. Yes, we're also being prepared and equipped, or prepared and provided for. But we're also being repaired. These are both journeys that we're always on. This equipping is constant and in all areas. I used to feel very convicted as a young pastor when I'd read this passage that he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers and to equip the saints. And I thought, oh man, am I actually equipping? I'm just doing some stuff over here. I'm doing pastoral care. And this was phenomenal for me to understand that this term has both of these dynamics. And when I'm doing pastoral care, caring for someone who's broken in some way, and we all are, is equipping. And I wasn't going against the Word of God, but we can walk with each other. And they're reconditioning the bricks, right? It's the bricks that have been knocked down out of these walls. And these are huge bricks. This is a huge, wide wall. But some of it needs to be the old mortar chipped off of it so that new mortar can be applied. It's a process, and it doesn't feel very good. It can hurt. Some of the words people have said to you in the past are like old mortar, and they're stuck to you. And it needs to be chipped off. And most of that work he does through the body. Yes, he does it through his Spirit, he does it through his Word. But a lot of that happens as we interact as a body of Christ, and we do that for one another. We go, hey, you're believing that lie. That is stuck to you. Here's what God's Word says, and here's a process I've found helpful of believing the truth. And that new mortar applied, and we're restored, we're put back in place that we belong. And yes, there's new timbers and whatever else coming here, but it restores a bigger picture as we walk with individuals. Look at 2 Kings. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. This is the story of Naaman. Naaman's a foreign military leader, and yet his servant says, hey, there's this guy, man of God, Elisha. Go and see him, and he can heal the sickness that you have. And he goes to him, and Elisha sent a messenger to him. This is a man of importance. He should have got to see the man himself, and he just gets a messenger. Ugh! He's already incensed. And pride wells up. And it's already bad that it's just a messenger. Then the messenger says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. That was known as an unclean river to those that were outside Israel. And he goes, no, that's, and he's rebelling against it. And his servant says, he asks you to do this small thing and you won't do it. He points out that it's his pride rising up. This is going to challenge our pride to be equipped for what God is calling us to do. And we need to be humbled. Naaman was, and he celebrated. He was cleansed. He went and washed. Didn't make any sense, go wash in the river. I've washed in a cleaner river water sources, and nothing's happened. But this man of God says, go wash in that river. Some of the things God asks us to do won't really make sense. but it's part of our own being equipped, restored, repaired, cleansed, and you will be clean. Again, set apart to God so that He can work through us. It's part of our own, but it also has an impact around Him. His servant sees this. Other people see this. And in the process, catch this phrase, pride is conquered and purity is acquired. Pride is conquered and purity is acquired. Sometimes there's things in our lives like the old mortar stuck to us. We feel broken down, we've been hurt, and we're having a hard time walking through it. Or this weakness in our lives, that just this ongoing sin, we can't overcome it. And it's as we journey, as we admit that out loud in the body of Christ and obey, that pride is conquered and purity is acquired. This is equipping. This is a setting us apart. This is bringing about restoring and repairing. We're all on this journey. Will we enter it? Will we continue to go? There's a different Elisha story a little later on, a few chapters, in chapter 8, 2 Kings. And while he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son had restored to life, he had restored to life, appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, here is the woman. Here is the son whom Elisha restored to life." So it's while a servant is giving testimony, here's what happened. Here's what Elisha did, or God did through Elisha, more correctly, restored someone, the dead, back to life. And while he's telling the story, here comes the person walking up. "Hey, it was me. I was restored." Here he is right now. Hear from him. Get that first-hand account. It says, restored to life. The enemy wants to bring death. God brings life. And in every one of our lives, we have some area that's still dead. None of us have arrived yet. He's still bringing life where there's death. Maybe you've lost hope in a certain area of life. Discouragement. Unforgiveness, either extended to you or from another, or some other area where it just leads to death and not to life. But he's come that we would have life and life to the full. And a part of it is being equipped, this restored and repaired in an ongoing way. And yes, prepared and provided for that we could serve. But we need to, this technical term here of equipped, really summarize it, made ready. Some of aren't made. We're not ready to serve yet because we're so broken and lost in a deep valley. We all go through seasons like this. Think of a deep valley of grief. We're not able to minister or serve the way we once were. That's okay. We step into a deep valley of grief. A body comes around us, and over a time, we are restored and we're repaired. And we come out even stronger, more fit, and ready. God uses it actually for good. Makes us ready. And this isn't just make us ready for heaven. Right? Want to receive Christ so I can just get into heaven. This is life right now. This is abundant life now. And some of us aren't taking part in it to some degree. All of us aren't taking fully what he's provided for out of fear rather than living by faith. And because it's scary to admit what's actually going on in our lives, to be restored and repaired. But God wants to, and he loves us that much that he's going to keep moving towards us and giving us opportunities to have that old mortar chipped off. Whatever is hindering us from experiencing the life that he's made possible. See, eternal life, it took me years to understand this. Eternal life, I always put into the heaven category when I die. And eternal life, starts from the moment we're in relationship with Jesus. And then we're constantly moving towards it. We're able to experience more and more of it as we grow in Him, as He restores and repairs us in an ongoing way. I have a second video here as we wrap up before the team comes and closes us in a song. As they get it ready, think about this. But see, it's both and. As He calls us to serve, we step out in ways that we feel inadequate, stirs up our fears, our inadequacies, all. And it's both and at the same time. It's not like we get completely restored and repaired. Whoa, I'm 100%. Then we'd go off and do our serving in our own strength. And it would be counterproductive for the kingdom of God. But it's both and. As He brings some healing in us, He also challenges us, will you serve in this way? That's scary. And we serve and we repaired and we're served and we repaired and rebuilt and restored. And all of this is going on. We're equipped on a journey. And it happens together as the body of Christ. It happens as we experience more of God. That's why it comes first in our framework, experiencing God. Because we won't have the courage to really face this, the reality of our own lives, or step out in faith to serve, not really serve God, not for His glory anyways, unless we're experiencing more of God, unless we're engaging in biblical community, we won't be going on this journey either. And He calls us for a purpose bigger than ourselves. Watch this video, I'll make a couple of comments, and then the team will close us.